Hey everybody, Charlie Kirk here. Are you new to investing and have savings you need to protect? Right now, the Middle East war, the Ukraine war, and maybe Taiwan soon. You need a playbook that is safe. Allocate some gold right now. Shield your savings with Noble Gold Investments IRA. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com. When fear reigns, gold protects the wise. Noble Gold Investments offers a free 5-ounce America Beautiful coin with new IRAs this month. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com right now. noblegoldinvestments.com, the only gold company I trust. Hey, everybody. It's the Charlie Kirk Show. Alina Haba joins us for a legal update regarding Donald Trump. Very important conversation. Molly Hemingway about breaking news on how the federal government colluded to smear and censor conservative speech. And why is the RNC partnering with NBC News? Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Subscribe to our podcast. Open up your podcast app and type in Charlie Kirk Show. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Molly Hemingway, the great Molly Hemingway, joins us. Molly, this is yet another chapter of you joining our program of a great I Told You So on your wonderful book, Rigged. I got to tell you, I love that book. I've given out to so many friends. Anyone who questions, oh, Charlie, why do you talk about the 2020 election? I said, you have to read Rigged. And now this is yet another example that your hypothesis was right. Tell us about this bombshell story made possible thanks to Jim Jordan.
Yeah. Rigged was looking at how elections had lost their integrity due to attacks on election laws, how our media are corrupt propagandists, but also how big tech censors news and information that's key to Americans knowing the issues so that they can vote properly. And so this is about that aspect of it. Jim Jordan came out with a report that various Americans across the political spectrum, but almost exclusively on the right, were censored in draconian ways by the censorship industrial complex. Partly that means the government was directing people what to do to set up censorship organizations, but also who to censor. These organizations went after people who questioned the security or integrity of the 2020 election and suppressed information, reporting, and debate about the seriousness of that issue. And they've got the goods, and you and I were two of the top people who were censored in this.
Yeah, so let's dive into the details here. So the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, CISA, and the Global Engagement Center, GEC, part of the DHS and the State Department, they colluded with Stanford. We are seeing this as a pattern, right, Molly, which is I will outsource the unconstitutional behavior that I can't quite do, but I'm still controlling it through winks and nods and strings. And so then Stanford had this election integrity project, a collection of alleged disinformation experts who used the disinformation label to then promote sweeping ideological controls online. And these tech companies were more than happy to receive these reports to then censor us. Do I have that about right?
Yep, that's exactly right. And I wouldn't say that they absolve themselves of any problems with the First Amendment by outsourcing this. In fact, that's what's in play with a very variety of lawsuits that are working their way through the courts now. Is it something that you can, instead of saying, I personally will censor this person, saying to someone else, you need to censor this, or setting up organizations with the express purpose of censoring speech and violating Americans' First Amendment rights? Thus far, we have quite a few courts saying, in fact, that that is a violation of First Amendment rights by these government agencies.
Yeah, and so I totally agree. It doesn't absolve them of any sort of recourse. Is there going to be, you think, serious lawsuits then presented to try to sue the federal government for obvious constitutional violations?
So first off, I think we need to acknowledge that the information that came out this week is because of a lawsuit that was filed by the Attorney General of Missouri, the Attorney General of Louisiana. That Attorney General of Missouri is now Senator Eric Schmidt of Missouri. He's cared deeply about this. And I know, you know, from talking to people close to him, they knew there was a problem with the censorship industrial complex. When they started pursuing this, they had no idea how bad it was. Going through discovery, which is where each side, you know, kind of has to like reveal information, they were overwhelmed by how much censorship was being engaged in by, you know, not just a few federal agencies, but by a ton of federal agencies, how they had set up outside groups at universities and other NGOs, and then how they were colluding with big tech companies to suppress news and information. So already this shows the importance of having the courage, like Eric Schmidt had the courage, to file a lawsuit here, because we got so much more news and information. But other people need to do it as well, as we learn more about this behemoth that is the censorship industrial complex.
So, Molly, I've asked this question before, and just, you know, give us the honest truth. What are the material improvements that we've seen since your publication of the book Rigged in the States That Matter? And what are the things that you honestly, you sigh and you say, this is still a major vulnerability heading into next November?
So I actually think the most important thing is, relative to 2020, the voters on the right and their institutions on the right are doing far more, or even just aware of the importance of election integrity. If you take yourself back to 2020 and there was this like weird election, everybody kind of knew it was weird, but nobody really knew what was going on. You cannot say that now. You have grassroots groups across the country, particularly in swing states, who are very aware of how ballot harvesting schemes take place, what to do to combat illegal voting or voting, like lack of security with voting. And they're also being smarter about how to harvest ballots for, how to harvest ballots for their teams. And so even though there's, I'd just say like the Republican Party and people on the right are completely outgunned, completely outfunded, and there's not the level of coordination that you see on the left, it is also true that even with everything that was done in 2020, that election came down to 43,000 votes across three states.
Right.
People on the right don't need to be as good as the left to compete. They just need to be in the game to have some sort of hope of winning some of these races.
Yeah, and I would add to that, the liberation of X or Twitter or whatever is a major win, right, Molly? I mean, to be able now to have a platform where we could basically say what we want, how we want, and see it go viral, I think that's a huge victory for the narrative war. I will say what you have pinpointed as a positive, I agree, but I also have some concern, which is that election integrity is such a thing, I don't want to see it depress our turnout. Molly, is that a concern that you share?
Oh, yeah. And I always try to remind people of what happened in the South, you know, when through the sort of tricky way that people were practicing elections, they basically disenfranchised, the Democrat Party disenfranchised an entire race of people,
correct,
Black people. And rather than get depressed and say like, oh, this whole thing is corrupt, there's nothing we can do, people didn't give up. They just fought to improve the processes and procedures and laws, and they kept voting and they kept fighting. And so that's, you know, and that's really the story throughout American history. We've never had perfect elections, but it does require you to know what's going on, to be engaged. And I would say the number one thing for that part too, a lot of people, you see them think of election day as like a single day, or elections as a single day. It's really a season that can last 2 months or more. So being on top of what's happening, that's not something where you can show up on election day and monitor the polls. You really need to be monitoring everything for months leading up to the actual election day.
Yeah, and I sure hope that people are starting to, you know, embrace this more, especially the early balloting, early voting. And, you know, I see I don't trust the Democrats at all, obviously. What would you say is our weakest spot of vulnerability that we have to shore up, being an expert on this topic, Molly?
I actually just think changing the mindset from elections are won by people who persuade the most voters to organically vote. Get that out of your mind. That's how elections used to be run. That's definitely far preferable. That's good for the country. Change it into this idea that whoever gets the most ballots into the box wins, and thinking how to play the game according to the rules that are currently written. And that is ballots in box. That means you have to reach out to people who may not know anything about the issues in play. They may not know anything about an election taking place, and taking over, you know, like just emulating what Democrats have done there, taking over as much of the process as you have the resources to bear to compete in that environment. I'm not saying I like this in any way. I really think it's bad for the country. But if you want to win elections, you have to play them according to the rules that are there. And that means either participating in or funding or otherwise supporting ballot harvesting operations.
Molly, I want to ask you, you had a tweet on this. What the heck is the RNC thinking partnering with Lester Holt and NBC News? What on earth is this all about? Well,
and Kristen Welker. Kristen Welker, who just lied in a debate and ran defense for Democrats, lying about what their position on abortion is. Like, I understand why Democrats don't want to admit that they vote regularly to support abortion through any for any reason, at any point in a pregnancy, 6, 7, 8 months. I understand why that's something they want to hide, but a so-called journalist shouldn't be doing that. Kristen Welker lied about that in her debate with Trump. And how can she now be, again, she's not a, like a moderator, she's a debater. And so they chose to have her. Why would you ever think that our corrupt propaganda press would in any way change what they're doing when they are rewarded with debates? Also, you have this problem with Republican primary debates. Republican voters almost never get to hear the questions or answers according to the way they view things. They, during a Republican primary, the moderators, the so-called moderators, they'll ask questions like, how could you possibly care about a border? Or how could you possibly care about rule of law? You know, it's always this like weird left-wing questions about abortion or anything. And a lot of Republican voters, you know, they want to figure out who they want to vote for. They want to use these as an opportunity to look through issues. They're not going to get it from left-wing activists like Lester Holt and Kristen Welker.
Honestly, Molly, you should be a moderator and you would ask the tough pro-life question in a way that a Republican voter cares about and like a primary voter cares about. Instead, and I said this previously, you might as well have Letitia James and Alvin Bragg as debate moderators. That's where we're at. And it's going to be prosecutorial type questioning. And you want to pull up a chair? That's what one of them should say tomorrow. You want to pull up a chair, Lester Holt, and debate? Are you asking the questions or are you trying to debate us? It's going to be so how racist are you, Ron DeSantis? America is at a tipping point. Charlie Kirk here to tell you about a new movie you have to see. Dinesh D'Souza's movie Police State exposes the government's relentless persecution of the conservative MAGA movement. The America we know and love is becoming more and more like a police state every day. The FBI has turned its eyes away from the real dangers in the world to target what they call domestic terrorists. With a totalitarian agenda that's treating conservative Americans like criminals, they're targeting their political opponents using mass surveillance and censorship, indoctrinating our children, and threatening families with military-style raids on our homes. Threatening people like you and me who speak our minds and stand up for freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and our God-given American liberties. Directed by Dinesh D'Souza, Debbie D'Souza, and Bruce Schuele, Police State sounds the alarm. If you demand your freedom, they're coming after you. How did we get here, and how do we turn the tide of this tyrannical government's agenda? You have to see this movie, Police State. Buy or stream it now at policestatefilm.net. Check it out today, policestatefilm.net. Give me the devil's advocate or the best possible explanation, because the RNC doesn't talk to me. Outside of Hugh Hewitt, who I really like, and I'm friends with him, even though we don't agree on everything, what is the RNC's argument for partnering with NBC News? Why not The Federalist? Why not Daily Wire? It's not like there's a lacking of right-wing media, Molly.
So I can defend them on this point, which is if you're trying to reach the largest possible audience, basically corporate media has a complete monopoly on the ability to reach large swaths of the American population. And so no one's going to have that type of TV broadcast reach. Now, having said that, of all the years that you might try to experiment with something else, this feels like it would be the year. You know, have Joe Rogan do a podcast
seriously.
Debate. You know, something that reaches like a completely different group of voters, but has a massive audience. But in their defense, like because the left controls all of our institutions, the academy, all of our media, that makes it very difficult to break out from it. And it's also though why I would like, or, you know, one of the things they could have done was maybe bring alongside these left-wing networks, people who are much more conservative. Now, I do have reason to believe that these left-wing networks refuse to deal with journalists who, for instance, call them on their, you know, hoaxes and scams, yeah, like the Russia collusion hoax, yes, or how they cover other things. But that's where a political party might play a little hardball.
No, I hear you on that argument, Molly, and I want to take it as seriously because I thought about it. But isn't this a primary voter issue, right? I mean, don't you want to reach the most primary voters? I don't think the typical viewer of NBC News Nightly with Lester Holt lying is going to be an Iowa caucus goer, right? I would imagine that it's more of a Matt Walsh or Candace Owens or Steve Bannon or Dan Bongino or Ben Shapiro, that sort of, you know, mold, more so than Kristen Welker's Meet the Press. Can you just remind our audience, Molly, of the hoaxes NBC News has been responsible for? It's not just the two, you know, left-wing activists that call themselves moderators. It's the institution of NBC News that has been responsible for some of the most reckless journalism in the last couple of years. Remind our audience.
Yeah. So I think one example that might be worth remembering is what they did to smear Justice Brett Kavanaugh as a serial gang rapist roaming the streets of suburban Maryland. They highlighted there was like an accuser who had one of the most outlandish and indefensible and completely like just made up stories about him running a gang. I mean, this is like a federal judge for 12 years, you know, but she claimed without evidence that he'd run a gang that was like roaming the countryside, preying on people. And they gave her a primetime interview. So that's just like an example of how far afield that network is. And, you know, they have Rachel Maddow on there. They have some like these most left-wing people who have engaged in information operations against the American people that are really bad. Like, you know, basically refusing to accept the legitimacy of the 2016 election for years, suppressing all manner of news and information that is important for people to vote on. Like, that's one of the things about what we started with this censorship regime. They don't just censor like typical campaign stuff or politician says this or politician says that. They censor every single story that matters to voters, whether it's trans issues, what's happening at school boards, what's happening on the border, what's happening in foreign policy. They censor and suppress conservative speech and debate, and they amplify and elevate left-wing debate. That is a level of meddling in our election that is unprecedented in history.
It really is incredible. There is a whole community of right-wing hosts like yourself, Molly, that are smart and articulate and trusted by the base. And instead of having, I mean, again, the last debate they had this open borders activist, this Univision person. At some point, Republican voters are going to say, I want to see the dialogue between Dan Bongino and Nikki Haley. I think that would be far more interesting than Lester Holt and Chris Christie. Molly Hemingway, great work. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Are you prepared for the unthinkable ahead? Charlie Kirk here. We all need to pray for the best, but prepare for the worst. That means stockpiling emergency food before it's too late. Right now, go purchase a 3-month emergency food kit from MyPatriotSupply.com, the nation's leader in self-reliance. Order yours today by going to MyPatriotSupply.com. Each family member needs their own kit when disaster strikes. These 3-month kits from MyPatriotSupply.com give an abundance of delicious meals, providing over 2,000 calories a day. You'll have plenty to eat when everyone else is scavenging empty store shelves. Stock up now because you won't get a warning when disaster hits. You are 9 meals away from anarchy. That's right, 9 meals away from anarchy. Order by 3:00 today and your order ships the same day for free. The unthinkable can happen at a moment's notice. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. Joining us now is Alina Haba, who has been doing a great job defending our favorite president. Alina, thank you so much for taking the time. First, give us an update of what's been happening in the courthouse. You had a very fiery statement yesterday about the judge and him talking to President Trump. And by the way, this trial seems like it's just going on forever. Give us the latest update straight from the front lines.
Sure. The fiery exchange was probably me calming myself down, frankly, considering what I wanted to say. The judge has repeatedly interrupted the president. He doesn't want to hear facts that are not good for his case. That's really clear. And what he has done is gagged the attorneys when we bring things to light that we think reveal bias, and it's concerning. There is a decision that was already made before we walked into this case. He found us liable on summary judgment before he even heard a witness, before he heard from our experts. And that is the banana republic that we are currently living in, Charlie. He's angry. He was very defensive yesterday, and the president was calm, spoke well. And when he spoke about properties, the fake news would say he was rambling on. But what he was doing was giving people a view into 50 plus years from the biggest real estate tycoon in New York, explaining how flawed their case really is, because they don't understand real estate. They don't understand basic principles of accounting. And it did get fiery in there.
Yeah. So for people that are hard to track here, what exactly is the state alleging here? What is the state's case at this point? It seems to be meandering. They're bringing in the kids. They're questioning accounting practices. They're ignoring obvious disclaimers. They're also not even mentioning that in real estate, the beauty is in the eye of the beholder. It's a very subjective medium where people are willing to overpay or sometimes underpay based on what they need. You know, I need a certain piece of land attached to another one. Somebody else might say, I don't want anything to do with it. Also, not even talking about the brand of Trump, which is very valuable and also very hard to put a number on. So what exactly is the state's case here?
To put it mildly, a great example would be that the judge thinks that the tax assessed value of a property like Mar-a-Lago that goes from intercoastal to beach, that is, 50 plus acres, a masterpiece, it's historic, that's worth $18 million. And if you put that on your tax assessment, then that must be your admission of the value of your property. And then on the flip side, you have Letitia James holding press conferences that further show the idiocy of this case, where she says that in 2011, President Trump got a loan and the bank said that the value was 200 something million. Deutsche Bank, mind you, sophisticated banks that were doing their own due diligence. But President Trump put on a statement financial condition that he believes it's worth 500 million. Well, if you look at comps in 2011, you can't get anything even close to 40 Wall for 500 million. That was conservative. But she's using loan documents. She's using banks, sophisticated banks, to target President Trump and say that there must be a victim. There was no victim. And what they've done is used a consumer fraud statute against a private sector business, because we don't have the right to a jury. We have this judge who has for 3 years been ruling against us. And we're in a situation where she's really fighting a fight for Deutsche Bank, who's never brought a claim because they were always paid in full. And frankly, the Trumps never defaulted. They paid them in full with interest. So it's a big waste of taxpayer dollars. And that's the gist of their ridiculous case.
Yeah. And so did the judge actually say, I don't want to hear from President Trump? I mean, fill us in on this. This is unbelievable.
Sure. I became frustrated, but I'm always professional. And at one point, the judge kept cutting my client off when he was giving testimony that hurt the AG's case. He's been very, very clear. He believes in the AG's case. He already made that determination. He's not interested in us wasting his time. He said that repeatedly. He tells us to move things along repeatedly. And he was cutting off the former president, sitting on the witness stand, cooperating and being a civil, decent defendant who was subpoenaed to come here and get off the campaign trail. So I, as his attorney, stood up and said, Your Honor, I apologize, but you have got to stop cutting him off every time he's explaining why values are what they are or why loan documents aren't as clear cut as they may think they are. You are cutting him off, and he has a right to testify as a defendant, as does every American. And his response was, I'm not here to hear what he has to say. And quite honestly, Charlie, I just looked at the computer and made sure that was on the record and sat down. And that actually, I didn't sit down. He screamed at me, sit down, in a manner I've never seen, slammed on his desk. And it was completely disrespectful. And I said it yesterday. I'll say it again. It was unhinged.
Yeah. And so this is not a jury trial. This judge obviously has a hatred, a venom towards President Trump. This is just the penalty phase, isn't it, Alina? So explain that to our audience. This is, again, I'm by no means a legal expert, but for some people in our audience, they're wondering, they're like, well, because I mean, you have to understand, a lot of people are very busy, you know, they're working two jobs trying to get their kids to school. Yeah. And, you know, they hear about Jack Smith and Fannie Willis and Alvin Bragg. This one has just not come out of nowhere, because you've been warning about this for months. Obviously, you've been working on it. But this is a penalty type phase where the judge is the jury judge and executioner. Is that an over exaggeration here, Alina?
No, he executed us before we walked into the courtroom. He granted a motion before we started the trial saying that we were liable, and he is firm on that. Of course, that's on appeal. However, the issue is that he continued with this trial. He disregarded statute of limitations, meaning how far back can an AG go and look at your finances. In any normal world, it would never go past 2016, and that's a stretch. They're looking at evidence from 2011. Even though the appellate division said those statute of limitations are in place for a reason, you have to respect them, he doesn't. We really are in a banana republic in there. So he already said we're guilty of fraud. He is now putting on a show, wasting taxpayer dollars, wasting President Trump's money, frankly, because all he wants to do now is get bad evidence out and suppress anybody that's going to put in good evidence. So it's clearly political. We're just effectively here to see if we're liable on, you know, six duplicative counts of civil fraud, not criminal, and what the damages are. And if Letitia gets her way, she wants to completely dissolve the Trump Organization. She wants to put real people out of business, real individuals out of work. And she wants to disgorge the Trumps from a quarter of $1 million of profits that they made in 1 year. That says it all. I mean, it's a great company. That's what they make in a year. But she ran on this platform, Charlie, and her politics are not going to allow her to back down without a fight. So she gets there, she does her press thing, and I get up and do it right back to her.
Well,
but it's a waste of money and it's a waste of time.
This judge has a very creepy pattern on his high school alumni newsletter, posting like half-naked pictures. It's very strange, very creepy, very weird.
And I
want to play this other piece. So the prosecutor, though, this should be dismissed for bias immediately. And I hope everyone understands this, that Donald Trump was one of the major reasons why New York went through a revitalization. Donald Trump poured billions of dollars into New York through jobs and wages and tax revenue and new wealth created. Not just Trump Tower, not just the Woman Rink, not just the Plaza Hotel, not just the revitalization of the Convention Center, not just the Commodore Hotel. It's all up and down New York in charity and in philanthropy and in job creation. And the very same city that he revitalized, that he made the gem, the center of the planet, is now turning their power against him. It is the buried lead of this entire thing. It's not like Donald Trump is a visitor to New York and then he like passively had some business, right? He built modern New York alongside maybe a couple dozen other people. It was Donald Trump's vision, his grit. New York City was a third world hellhole in the late 70s and early 80s. It was not a safe city. You could not walk the streets. It was full of prostitutes and hookers and gangbangers. And Donald Trump had a vision to clean it up and turn it into the gem that we now know it. And now they're putting him on a show trial. It's honestly one of the tragedies that needs to be continually mentioned. Play cut 46.
Stand up to an administration which is too male, too pale, and too stale. Too male, too pale, and too stale. And we will not go away silently.
I mean, this is like South African kill the boar stuff. I mean, too male, too pale, too stale. I mean, that's just one of many, Alina, of where she says, I'm getting elected just to go after Trump. So what is the remedy? What is the appeal process here? What does that look like? Do you have faith that the appellate level in the state of New York has any sort of fairness that this current judge does not have?
I think there's a lot of options. There's ethics. There's ethics boards. There are ways that we can hold, and New York citizens can hold her feet to the fire and hold her accountable for what she's doing, not just me. And then there is, of course, the appellate division, which we have exercised fully along this entire path. The problem that we have is we have a judge who is not even recognizing rulings from the appellate division in regards to statute of limitations. His mind is made up. Her mind is made up. And effectively, he's just an arm of the Democratic Party. And that's what you have when you have elected officials who are making decisions. They want to, you know, he's going to be retiring soon. He's looking to his future. He wants to make a name for himself, and he's making quite the name for himself, whether it's the one he intended or not. He'll definitely be remembered. But it's a corrupt system. It's wrong. That was a video that she posted before she was attorney general, before she knew anything about the Trump organization. She predetermined that they had committed fraud, and she was basically fitting a round peg in a square, you know, a square peg in a round hole. And that's what Letitia James has done and continues to do.
The level of tyranny that we are seeing is completely unprecedented. There's some other legal analysis I want to just emphasize. We know that the judge has made up his mind. And so they're speaking to in some ways, I know you're kind of speaking to a different audience, the appellate audience. And Alina, you love the city of New York. These people have no concern or seeming fiduciary duty over the well-being of New York. Letitia James, this judge, they seem to just want to burn it all down based on revenge and spite. Alina, let's just play this out. What happens to the thousands of employees of the Trump organization if Letitia James gets her way?
It's a really complicated question. I don't know. I don't know, and I don't want to speculate. I would like to think that my lawyering will save them and save the company, and I have no reason to believe it won't. You know, if she had her way, she would wipe everybody off. And she doesn't care about the citizens of New York. She cares about her politics. That's it. And this is getting her a press moment. And she needs to think a little bigger and a little less selfishly. But this is Trump derangement syndrome in a nutshell. This is what this is.
Hey, everybody. I've got some thrilling news to share with you. The Buy Optimizer's Black Friday mega sale is in full swing. And guess what? It's not just a one-day thing. It's happening throughout the entire month of November. This mega deal is available only for my listeners, only with my code. Yep, you heard me right. It's our little secret. Now, you already know that I have unwavering trust in Buy Optimizers. These guys are the real deal when it comes to improving digestion. And let's not forget about their top-of-the-line magnesium. It's truly the best on the market. Plus, they back up their products with a rock-solid 365-day money-back guarantee, no questions asked. Now is the time of year when you fill up your shopping carts and stock up on Buy Optimizers goodness. Trust me when I say this, you won't find a better Black Friday deal anywhere, not even on mighty Amazon. The biggest discount you can get and amazing gifts with purchases are available only on my page, buyoptimizers.com/Kirk, with promo code Kirk10. We all have these never-ending Black Friday wish lists, but this year I challenge you to put your health at the top of the list. I love Buy Optimizers. I use their products. They're terrific. So why wait? Choose health over unnecessary things this Black Friday. Head over to buyoptimizers.com/Kirk and enter code Kirk10 at checkout. Remember, it's buyoptimizers.com/Kirk, promo code Kirk10. Do not miss out on this mega deal for my listeners only. So check it out, buyoptimizers.com, promo code Kirk10. Alina, talk about how the kids are now involved. Don Jr., Eric, Ivanka. These people are relentless and ruthless, and they're trying to loop the entire family into this.
That's right. Look, they brought the boys in. They had them take the stand. They did a great job. Ivanka's tomorrow, obviously. And we do plan on bringing them back on our case in chief, which will start next week, because I think they're fantastic. They're honest. And the real story is not pretty for them. It's good for us. So they were concise. You know, the media I know has tailored it to what suits them for clickbait, but they did great. They made clear that they were here running a business. They all had their different roles. They weren't in the accounting department. They relied on accountants and lawyers just like anybody would. And to find liability with no intent is going to be pretty difficult for the attorney general.
Yeah, just talk about the timeline here, Alina. I mean, there's obviously a press component. So the judge makes up his decision and then he says, oh, I'm going to hear about the penalty. How long is this thing going to last?
Trial's slated to go to the middle to end of December. It's crazy.
Is this normal?
It's optics.
Is it normal to have a trial go on for 60 days?
Not when liability has already been determined. That's what we argued. What a waste of time. Why are we relitigating something that you already said we were guilty of? Let us wrap it up. Do a damages trial. I have another case where that's what they're doing. I don't agree with it,
but it's not a waste of money and time. Let's get your verdict that we're not going to agree with, and let's move on to the appellate division. You know, this is the truth. And I think the reality is he loves the press. He loves the press in the room. He invites them in to take pictures, which technically he's not supposed to do. He is smiling for the camera, as what was
smirking
widely. Right. Smirking. I mean, he's loving this as much as Miss James. I don't know what she's going to do when Trump's done for her. She's going to have to find some new right wing conservative mission to take down. You know, it's a disgrace and it's a waste of time and energy. But yeah, we'll be there for another month.
Be there for another month. Obviously, election interference. Nobody seems to care. Just give us a bigger picture here, Alina. Not only is the president having to monitor that his business empire might be seized from him by the state of New York, but you have the Alvin Bragg, Fannie Willis, Jack Smith. I know that you're not on some of those cases, but just talk more broadly. I mean, this is multidimensional stuff here.
Yeah, well, you know, that's part of, you know, the last time I was on, I think I was just his attorney, and now I'm his general counsel, so that we can coordinate to some extent all of these multifaceted criminal and civil cases. It's 100% election interference. They want him out of Iowa. They want him out of key swing states. They want him off of the campaign trail so that they can tie him up in testimony and criminal trials. He has to be there every day. You know, that is by design. A lot of these cases are stale. Georgia happened years ago. Why is it being brought now? January 6th, why is it being brought now? All of these things are stale and they're being brought for one purpose. And that's because they can't really beat him any authentic, honest way. So they're, you know, have to tie him up, have to try and keep him off the campaign trail and out of people's minds and make him look like a criminal and a fraudster. And that's the desperation that we're at right now, Charlie. That is why they're doing it. There is no question.
I ask you this question every time, Alina, because I think it's important. I get this question a lot, and I have a short little window into it, but you have a bigger picture. How does he handle this? This is the number one question I get. He's facing 700 years in prison. His 50 years of work is trying to be vaporized by this thug, Letitia James. How does he continue?
Honestly, and I say this not as his spokeswoman, let me be very clear. He is incredibly resilient. I don't know that I could be handling it the way he's handling it. He fights. I think if anything, it emboldens him. It makes him more passionate about the message to save America and more impassioned about getting back in the White House in 2024 and cleaning up the mess from the DOJ to the corruption that we see to, you know, defunding police. I mean, I could go on and on and on. Our borders. These things are things that make him angry. And they know that they're, you know, he knows that they're coming after him because they don't want to be held accountable. And if 2024 rolls around, I have a feeling that's what might happen.
It's unbelievable. And Letitia James is trying to create a blueprint for all future presidential candidates they don't like. They will find whatever they want. They'll throw you in court. Welcome to the third world. Alina, great job. Thank you so much. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.